For our time together this morning, would you please turn your Bible, if you have it, if you bring it along, or the church Bible, or if you want to look it up on the screen, of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38, the commissioning of the disciples. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, quiet our minds and our thoughts and our hearts now. Guide me with your spirit, that all that I say and do, that all that we are today, will be for your glory and honor. And help us to hear you clearly, and guide us with your spirit to understand what you want us to understand. Lord, may the word of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our God, our Rock, our Redeemer. Amen. The commissionings of the disciples. The first time I entered into ministry, full-time ministry, at a local church was back in 1999. Mind you, I didn't know what I was into at first. As last week I talked about being a disciple and joining the church, and like my illustration of the car wash, you count somewhat the cost, but you already didn't know what you're into. Remember that, right, some of you? So I will not repeat that. But a year went on, and then all of a sudden I got this overwhelmness came into my mind after a year of ministry, and I didn't know what to do. So I research, and I discovered that there is a wonderful, wonderful workshop for those in full-time ministry, and it was going to be held in Dallas, Texas. So I've never been to Texas, so I thought that's a great idea. So I went to Texas by flight, by plane. And I went in, and I signed up for this course called the Clinical Workshop for those who would like to find the Mo and Joe, I think it's the Mo and Joe. The Mojo, thank you. The Mojo, whatever someone just shout out here. The Mojo, all right? So the workshop for the finding a mojo before the actual workshop begins. So it's a whole day of clinical training. And I thought, that sounds great. I want my mojo, whatever that cup of coffee that is, all right? So I signed up and I went in. And little did I realize that that course all is going to be about a man standing up front, everybody, and just sharing his life stories. And I said, I pay 80 bucks for this? I could have just Googled and listened or something. But anyway, as I listened, this by the name of Mike Yaconelli, and I share this with the deacons and elders newly elect, the story, so pardon me for repeating this story, but I thought I ought to share with you all. Because it brings us to what discipleship is all about. So this by the name of Mike Yaconelli, who is now in heaven with the Lord, who founded the largest youth ministry network in America. It's called Youth Specialties. He spoke in front of the crowd, and he said, you know what? He said, the reason he went into ministry wasn't him was so excited about being a Christian or being disciples. It wasn't like that, he said. He said he went to church and a nominating chair committee and say, Mike, you look like you're a good deacon. so why don't you join the deacon? And he said, why not? That sounds good. And a few months into the deacon's committee work, he didn't really know what he was into. So he went to the minister and said, Pastor, I'm not quite sure what I'm really here for. I feel like I'm a deacon that doesn't deek. So the pastor went to the moderator of the deacon and said, can you work with Mike? And so sure enough, the moderator of the deacon said, Mike, well, you're kind of tall, you're kind of big, and you look strong, so why don't you chaperone the youth to their trip to the nursing home once a month as they visit and run activities for the residents of the local nursing home? Mike said, that sounds easy. I don't have to talk to people. I don't have to deliver flowers. That sounds good. I don't have to cook meals and give to people in need. So Mike agreed. So Mike showed up at that nursing home the first month with the youngster, the youth group at the church. And he would just stood at the back of the activities hall, and he was just standing as another adult. And a few minutes later, a lady with a wheelchair pulled in and sat right next to Mike and reached out her hand and grabbed Mike's hand. And that event went on every month for 6 months. After 6 months of the visit to the nursing home, Mike was used to this. Mike knew, figure out his role as a deacon. He knew exactly what he would do. All he had to do is show up at this place and this activity hall of the nursing home and just stood next to a lady in a wheelchair. The 6 month came and there was no lady with a wheelchair. And Mike was not used to this. He had a job. He figured out his call. And he looked around as he looked towards the hall, and there was nurses and medical staff gathering in one room at the very room at the corner, waving at Mike to come towards the room. And so Mike said, okay. And he went over in the room. And as he approached the room, and one of the nurses said, Mike, your friend, the lady, she is dying. And she said, she wanted to touch the hand of Jesus one more time. She wanted to touch the hand of Jesus one more time. Then, Mike said, his whole life changed. From then on, he decided to get into youth ministry. As a deacon supporting, no wonder, he formed the largest youth ministry in the nation. Why the stories? Because Jesus, at this point, as our text told us, that he went to every town and every village, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns, Wynnum, Salem, Derry, Londonderry, and all the towns I possibly could name, right? Jesus went to every single town, all the towns and villages, teaching in the churches, in the synagogues, proclaiming, here's the word, the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. So what you ask, what's the good news? The good news is that God is now present in the community. He's not far above, unreachable, but God actually is now hands and feet in our community. He is in our location. He is in our address where we live. The good news overwhelmed the bad news. That sounds challenging for us today if you turn on the TV or read newspapers. Most of the news we hear are bad. We need good news. Our family, our friends, our community, our nation needs good news. And that's precisely why God came. God came to bring the good news of the gospel, the kingdom. And yes, he preached. Jesus preached a lot. He's teaching and preaching in the synagogues. It said proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And that's not all. What did Jesus do? He healed every disease and sickness. We had a joy moment sharing in our prayer time that cancer went away. And some healing is still taking place. But here in the story that Jesus used his work, his ministry, to bring good news to the kingdom of God and to bring healing for those who are in need of healing. And that's not all. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Let's stop for that moment at this point. Jesus saw the crowds. He saw the crowds. Have you been in a crowd? Yes. You've been to a football game, baseball game. You've been to big gathering. I mean, this is a crowd. But think about thousands and thousands and gathering crowds. I love crowds. I like to get into these crowds moment. And you know, whenever I'm in the crowds, I sing this, my favorite song, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, right? I feel like singing that moment right now with you, but because of the time, we won't do that. I mean, it's fun to be in the crowd. It gives you energy. It gives you excitement. I mean, to be with tons and tons of people you don't know and you don't ever have to deal with after being with them for, right? For an hour or two or whatever, and just being with them, be energized and just zone out and have fun. I don't know what you see when you look at the crowds, but Jesus looked at the crowds, and whenever he sees the crowds, and here it says, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were helpless. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd is in danger. Jesus knew that. And many times when we think about God and when we think about Jesus, the calling of Jesus itself is that, yes, he called men and women to be in the ministry. But many times it's out of compassion and love and with gentleness, with kindness, with great love. Whatever he see the crowds or the people, he had compassion on them. You know, this is the identity, the Christology, the person of Jesus Christ. Thus far we've been shown to, or the disciples have been shown, that Jesus is a compassionate, a loving God who is on with a skin, or on a skin, who people can see, can touch. But he's not the one who shouted, who showed, what do you call it, the word, unkind spirit to the world and the people he encountered with. But we know one thing, though, about Jesus is that he was never easy on the religious leaders. If you look at the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and most of his conflicts and most of the things that he did, we go, wow, that was harsh. I can't believe God did that. Or I can't believe God said that. It was never about the people. It was never about the crowds. It was about the religious leaders. Remember that. It was against the Pharisees. It was against those who were supposed to be caring and show compassion to people. But they didn't. So Jesus was hard on them, for the religious leaders, but never on the crowds. Never. He fed them, didn't he? He fed the crowds, the multitude. He went to every town and villages and healed every disease and sickness. And everybody wanted to touch him. Even that lady, remember, in the crowd? It was an unorthodox, mind you, way of healing. There wasn't a sermon here and there, and then prayer, and then laying on of hands, and anointing, and there's a procedure to go and wash in the clean pool, or one of those religious rules. It was a lady coming to Jesus with a bleeding problem, right? And she came and she touched the edge of Jesus' robe. He healed. Even with the limited and unorthodox way of understanding about God, he provided the compassion and the love and the healing that people need. He did that. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So now, my disciples, because I did all these things, now you, the people, you, the disciples, pray for the workers. Pray that God will bring more people to bring compassion and love and his work, his the good news of his kingdom to the world." So Jesus commissioned the church, the disciples, to actually pray that there will be more workers. Verse 38, it said, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Men and women, Jesus had compassion on them, on the crowds. You, our families, our people, our community, our nation, the world. And he said, pray, pray, pray. That's the one thing we could do, that we could pray that God will actually send the one who will bring good news to the community that we are part of and the world that we are in. Then Jesus finally, in chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every what? Disease and sickness. What does it mean for us? Well, to the elders, newly elders elect, and to the newly elect deacons, elders and deacons, who are going to be ordained and installed today, and all of us disciples. What does it mean that Jesus sent out the disciples and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness? You know what that means? All of us are doctors. You didn't know that. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm a doctor"? Can you do that? I'm a doctor. You are a doctor. You are a doctor. Do you know that? God calls you. God calls you to go out and bring the good news of compassion and healing to the people he sent you to. Many times when I went during my seminary trainings, when we had to go to the hospital in a cold cut and talk to patients, you know, 80%, I believe that 80% have a wound in their hearts and a gaping wound in their hearts. And if those wounds were healed, their physical problems would not be there. I could guarantee you that. And I believe that a lot of our hospital beds will be empty if those gaping wounds of the hearts were healed. The world's hurting. God is sending you out as doctors to heal the hearts and souls of men and women with the good news of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men and women, shall we go? Yes, we shall. In Jesus' name, amen. Right from the beginning of time, God called, God sent his son to the world. Then in the Old Testament time, Moses was called.